Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hey everybody, this is Link, and I'm speaking for all fat geeky guys everywhere when I say that you are listening to the Linux Link Tech Show. Hang on for our quick promo, we'll be right back at you. Enjoy.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys, or I wonder if they would review my product, or why don't they talk about this, or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow, or just how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This fine October evening, Wednesday, October 13th, 2004. Our 54th episode.
Woo-hoo.
That's right. Good stuff. Good stuff coming. I have no idea what the hell we're going to do. What are we going to talk about tonight? Dan has a whole bunch of crap, like he always does. I have some stuff to talk about.
How do you create a link off a web page to open up IRC?
You would use IRC colon. But it depends on, like, if their browser supports that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Because I just, somebody suggested that, and I did it.
Uh-huh.
But when I click on it, it says it's an unsupported protocol.
Right. Well, it's because it is. Some browsers might support it, and some won't. Just like Netscape will support Telnet for protocol, Firefox will not.
Firefox won't support IRC then either.
Probably not, no.
Can you
it's a browser-dependent thing.
Well, how come Netscape does it, but Firefox doesn't?
Because I don't know. What do you want from me? I didn't write it. And they did a damn good job, I might add.
Yes, they did. No complaints there.
Anyway, for those of you who were actually listening to the stream, probably no one was, but if you were listening to the stream before we actually started the tech show tonight, we're having a little fun doing some stuff for the podcasting populace. We were doing some promos for, you know, different podcasting groups, and we had to do them, like, you know, 85 times because I'm a screw up number one and forgot to tell everybody that we were actually from the tech show. So all you got was like, hey, I'm Link, I'm Ellen, and I'm Dan, and you're listening to, you know, Evil Genius Chronicles or whatever. And nobody knew who the hell we were, so you figured we better start over again and tell them that we were from the Linux Link Tech Show. So, you know, we redid that, and then, Dan had it, like, fart and everything in the middle of it.
Take my microphone off.
It's a good, and, you know, I'd be really offended if he farted on my microphone and then stuck it in front of my face.
We have to bring colored tape so we can put one on his
microphone. Yeah, I actually make sure that nobody gets the fart microphone but Dan. That's his and his alone.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to stay away from your microphone, man. That's what I'm going to do.
Listening on the chat.
Listening on the chat.
Yeah.
So they're not, like, reading on the chat?
No, 8 people listening on the stream.
Ah.
What am I going to do?
Okay, well.
What are you going to do?
8 people. That's pretty cool.
When Alan's lips are wrapped around
that's
you.
Cool. And you know what else I heard right before? Because you're sick. What else I heard right before that we started the show tonight was
not gay.
Alan grabbed the, you bought Bill Shatner's new album. What's it called again?
Has Been.
That's some funny crap, man.
It is absolutely hilarious.
Holy moly, that is funny. He's got this song on there, and he's like, the whole song, he's like, you are gonna die. You are gonna
over
die.
Over and over again.
That is so funny, man. I highly have, you know, even if you're feeding the man some money, you got to go out and buy this thing, or you know, go over to a buddy's house and listen to it or something, because it really, yeah, and you know, we all know how bad Shatner's first album was. It really was.
When did
horrible.
That come out?
The Transform Man.
This new one?
Yeah.
It was just like a week or two ago.
Last
right?
week, I think it was. Yeah.
Come on, maybe I gotta go to iTunes.
Yeah, it's bring it down. It's hysterical, man.
Or maybe somebody has a podcast of it already.
Yeah, right. You know, that's another thing. And then I don't know if Dan like wants to advertise this or not, but like Dan has this sly on the side kind of podcast going on.
Dan doesn't want to advertise. If you listen to the first one, Dan said he didn't want to advertise it.
He's not telling anybody about this like this sideline podcast thing. Don't tell anybody. But yet in the same breath, like he sends this audio commentary shit to Adam Curry, who plays it to everybody in the known universe, right? But don't tell.
Dan's branching off on his own out of the show here.
It's a supplement to my regular blog.
Yeah.
It's not advertised because the people who may be looking at the whole point is the people who may be looking at my blog and monitoring my blog for certain content will not be able to, would generally not know where to find this audio blog.
The poopy police that he works for.
So then I can have all the stuff I can't say in my regular blog and the stuff we don't talk about on the tech show over there.
Why don't you just put a big disclaimer on your other one and say, you know, like if you work for such and such,
close within or my own.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that easily. So until they find that,
have nothing to do with the
blog,
idiots I work for.
By then I'll probably be on to something else. Something different. What'll be next.
But anyway.
The video blog.
You made this like long comment. We were talking about this last week on the tech show. This long comment to Adam Curry about asking whether or not, you know, it was a good idea or legal and or legal, et cetera, to play like copyrighted music on podcasts. And you know, our previous understanding is that, you know, like that's not, especially because we live in the United States. Adam Curry, he lives, you know, In Amsterdam, so he really could give a shit while he's sitting there doing his podcast and smoking a bone in the morning. We can't do that. You know, the show would be a lot cooler if we could probably.
We could do
you know,
that.
But we're kind of stuck here in the U.S. and we, you know, the RIAA has this habit of suing the hell out of people.
Suing 12-year-olds.
They may sue 12-year-olds. What an organization is that? That goes around suing old ladies and 12-year-olds, right? I don't wonder how they sleep at night.
It's an income.
But anyway, Adam says, and I wish I had the thing here to play for. I didn't have like enough foresight.
What's your IP address?
It's 0100.
Hold on a second. I can at least.
Can you do it? And we can cue it up and play part of it for him.
Right. That's...
But anyway, in the interim, Adam says that. Yeah, in fact, what he is doing is probably, partially at least, illegal. However, the laws are different in Amsterdam. And that he's under the understanding that, what I gather from the conversation, he said that radios don't actually pay to play their music, and the way they get away with that is they can't.
It's in there now.
Do we have it?
It's DSC underscore question.
Holy yeah.
Which the
why don't you talk for a minute while I cue this thing up and cough and gag.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I haven't heard it yet, so Dan, you'll have to talk. You gonna be all right there?
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll switch tangent a little bit there while he's queuing it up. Maybe if we have a song over the break, I'll pull down his response, and we'll just cut it out of there, and everybody will be happy. Anyway, my dad might be listening today, which is really good. Set him up with XMMS and XChat so he'd have the capability to listen. And interesting enough, he is on a dial-up connection, and I was over there on XMMS through the dial-up connection connecting to the stream, and it was perfect through a dial-up connection.
Our stream comes in pretty good with just a regular dial-up.
It came in really good. Is it geared up?
I'm geared up. Yeah, I thought you were giving me the whole, daily source code with Adam's response and everything.
I didn't get that yet.
He just sent me the question. But I'm going to play the question for you.
I can do that over break.
Yeah, we could do that. We'll try and do that over break and queue it up so you can hear, Adam's response. But here's Dan's question, which is a good question. Check it out.
Good evening, Adam Curry. It's Dan Washko from the Linux Link Tech Show and Dan's Rants. Been weeding my way through the earlier episodes of Daily Source Code, and one thing that has really caught my curiosity is whether you have a license to broadcast and or distribute the commercial music or media files that you play, and what your opinion is on those who are just getting into podcasting, who obviously look to your work as one of the pioneering people in podcasting, and what your opinion is on them including commercial-based content. What concerns us, or me, and also we discuss it on the tech show, is that it might draw unnecessary or unwanted attention from bodies like the RIAA and the NBA and force their hand to crack down on podcasting for illegal distribution of commercial products. Just curious as to what you think about that. And what you might have to say to other people who are out there podcasting now. Thank you for taking your time to listen to this, and look forward to the next Daily Source Code.
Yeah, what he said. But no, seriously, that is a really good question. Like I said, and Dan's going to try and get the Daily Source Code, and we'll see if we can queue it up so you can get Adam's response to it. However, what my whole point on this, or my whole take on this, is that, in a sense, maybe not necessarily like our show, you know what I mean? Our show, which is an actual show, and then we might have, an intermission song or something like that. But there are some podcasts out there who are only distributing, and I don't know if you guys noticed this? They're only distributing music files.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I've heard about that on Daily Source Code. And
yeah, and I've got music files from Sting and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Blog Ripper or something like that.
Something I don't know.
Blog Ripper.
But I've got, like I said, I've got music files from Sting and from Good Charlotte maybe or something like that, and some other people. And obviously these are RIA protected, copyrighted songs and materials, and like I said, they're only coming, it's the entire song, there's no commentary on either end or anything like that or any additions to it or anything. It's just a song, and I get it, whap, it ends up in my directory after running Bash Potter, which is of course the all time best Linux and Mac OS X client. If you haven't tried it, it's, you should. I had to plug it a little bit because I wrote it.
So you've got to plug your work there, yeah.
No, it works really good, though.
Plug what?
If you can't Bash Potter. If you can't get the other ones to work, then by all means, try mine. Or if you want something, then I get, I still have not seen, the iPotter X or any. I'm of the understanding that when you run them, they have, this GUI configuration thing. You know, is it like a little GUI program? You can.
Dan's the only one with Mac that can run it, so.
No, but then the ones.
If you would have been at the meeting last night, you would have seen.
Well, I was sick and snotting. I had the flu, man. But what about the other ones? The other Linux clients, the Python one and the Perl one.
GitEnclosure.
They have some kind of interface or something like that.
Well, GitEnclosure.
No, I've not seen a Linux one with an interface yet.
Yeah, they were all just scripts, basically.
Oh, cool. Well, no, I guess you're not gaining anything by just running mine. But mine has really no interface. You just kind of run in the background. You can run it in a cron job, and you never have to look at it, and it just automatically does a thing.
I wouldn't hold your breath with the source code thing, because I'm both inside in work and at home, and I can't connect to the RSS.
You can't get it.
I can't get the RSS, and I can't get. Actually, I can't even get to some of his stuff on the site. Maybe he got caught. He got busted. Busted.
What date did it come in on?
Today.
Today's.
I can probably shell in at home and
13th?
Push it over. Yeah, that would be. Yeah, today is the 13th all day.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
were you attached to yourself today?
The show is the 10-13 show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Alan was with himself all day today. No. What else were we going to talk about while we're trying to fish this file along?
You know what? I might have it if I can mount my OS X partition.
That's sick.
Ha-ha-ha.
But no. Let me finish my train of thought. I understand that from what I gathered from Adam's response to Dan's question is that it's radios don't necessarily like pay the RIAA money for this stuff, but there's some conditions on that. Like you can't tell people, you know, what the name of the song is beforehand so they can record it and yada, yada. And while a lot of these podcasts might actually fall into that sort of criteria, there are, you know, my point is that there's at least a few of them that are sending MP3 files that are just the song, and that's going to generate a lot of negative connotation.
Well, the fact that there's just so much good stuff out there that's you know open source.
Sure.
You know,
sure, there's like
archives.org has
archive.org.
Tons of stuff.
That's where we get a lot of our
tons
stuff
of stuff.
And there's a lot of really good artists out there who will let you, you know what I mean? Who will let you play their stuff? You know, they're either licensing stuff under Creative Commons or
yeah, I mean
they'll just let you play it if you ask them kind of thing.
There's no need to play the same crap.
That's right.
It's, you know, we've heard 20,000 times before.
Only the big name groups that have, you know, that have
contracts,
big
stuff,
financial
yeah.
contracts behind them that have some kind of hair up their ass about playing their music. The rest of the guys who are just trying to make ends meet, they want you to listen to their stuff. So maybe you'll go out and buy a CD or something, order a CD from their website. This is the kind of stuff we should be promoting.
Was that on the Daily Source Code or on Trade Secrets?
It was on the Daily Source Code. It was like right in the middle of it, man.
I didn't get today's Daily Source Code.
Well, you're...
I got Trade Secrets.
I'm sending over
he's sending it over to me. Alan's sending it over to me now.
Okay, because I got...
Yeah, get under six and a half minutes, but...
Will Wheaton's on Gnome Dex and James Patrick. Kelly.
No, what's on today?
Voices in My Head. Oh, I got Gilmore
Gang today.
Why didn't I get the Daily Source Code? Wonder what time that came out.
It was late. 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's why I didn't get the Daily Source Code. Maybe that's why I can't get to a site, because it's so many people
getting
are...
getting hammered, probably. But anyway.
Well, at least I can mount my partition in Linux.
Shit, you should see that, boys and girls. And a couple of things, let me before we, you know, continue on with this, let me mention a couple of things that I actually brought up that I wanted to make quick note of tonight. There's a ZDNet story, all right, about, it's entitled, Will Linux Finish Off the Mac?
Oh, I was reading that one earlier, yeah.
Let me do my bit here and slap the URL into our IRC, our chat log. I wanted to make comment of this because this is something that you know, Dan and I have bantered back and forth a long, long time. It makes reference to this whole, you know, well, actually, this is starting off. Well, Linux is great as a server. As a server operating system, this and it goes on and on. It's a server operating system, this and a server operating system that.
That link you posted. Oh, my. Nothing. I didn't copy the L.
He said, "Oh, it's a server operating system, and you know, and I run a server on Linux box and blah blah blah, and you know, but is it ready for the desktop?" And it's like, and it, you know, he just expounds upon that and goes on. Is Linux ready for that? And it'll never beat out the Mac, and it'll beat out the blah 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 blah. Anyway, my whole point for bringing this thing up is, like, you know, when Dan and I started out doing, like, the Linux user group and things like that long, long ago, the articles like this were, will Linux ever be usable on a server? And, you know, at that time, Dan and I were using Linux as a server and on our desktop. And now, 4 years later, 5 years later, it's... You know,
we're still doing it.
Will Linux ever be ready for your desktop? Because it's really great as a server, and you know, we're still using it on our desktop. This is not something that we have to go out and achieve a great level of functionality. I use it every damn day. That's the only thing I use. I mean, I'm not graced with deep pockets full of money for iPods and nice Macintosh laptops like some other people around here are. I use beat-up, ratty-ass old computers, and they run Linux. And you know what? I don't have to run Windows. Everything I want to do, I can do without any hassles. I have nice, pretty little desktops just like everybody else does, you know?
And this is rather nicer looking than the Windows crap.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this stuff at all. So, you know, my response to all of those people who are saying, and I'm not saying that, you know, OS X is a bad looking, it's really nice looking, you know, it's a groovy looking desktop, and they got all the integration stuff going on in there, but, you know, I can still do all my daily desktop routines and you know, get what I need to get done that day, and feel that I've had a pleasant experience doing it. And I don't need to go out and spend, you know, $120 every 3 or 4 months either to do that. Not that OS X is bad. I think it's cool. I just think it's, you know, out of my price range because not only is it $120, but you got to have the hardware to run it on, too.
Well, I think that's the thing.
So if you want to switch me, Apple, you know, send me an iBook. I'll talk you up every day.
That's the thing. Price-wise, definitely. It's cheaper to buy a PC. Piece of crap, whatever. Anyway.
Buy shit.
But, you know, the Linux community, open source community, really has this opportunity now between XP and the release of Longhorn, which keeps being pushed back, to make a big push to get a lot of this stuff together.
Because
I guess from what it sounds like is when Longhorn comes out, that is going to be a definitive point when people are going to be looking at it and say, do we continue to go down this route now that apparently everything has to change once again? You know, like we had all these programs need to be redesigned. Or do we jump ship and go with a better product?
Right.
And what else is out there? There's OS X, there's Linux, there's FreeBSD.
There's OS X, which requires a platform change.
Right.
Unless, and this article makes mention of that too, unless they release OS X for x86.
Yeah, but
that would be a killer thing.
But
you know,
Apple doesn't make its money on the software.
But they could make some bucks on that. I've heard that there's
you know, really no way that they're going to do that. There's no reason for them to do that.
Well,
that's a rumor that comes out every year around Christmas time.
You know what? They can't make a big price point on that, on releasing it for x86, but the sheer number of sales that they would get would have to do something for them. You know what I mean?
Windows XP Millennium.
I don't see it happening either. I really don't. But yeah, you're right. This is a time that Linux could really.
I mean, there's that golden opportunity, when you hear about it, I mean, it's really making a lot of inroads, particularly overseas, you know, in other countries. And it's
making it in other countries because of the price point. You know what I mean? And also because there are other countries are a lot smarter than the government of the U.S. It's not just the government of the U.S. It's the corporations of the U.S. Who have somehow been sucked into this Microsoft vortex. And they think
no one ever got fired for using Microsoft.
And they think that somehow Microsoft has become somehow Microsoft has become a standard.
I've heard of that one too.
And like it's all a suit thing because
got fired for using Microsoft.
None of the suits ever stop and think it never occurs to them that hey, like we're losing money off of lost productivity from having our servers be down and having our desktops be down and stuff. It never occurs to them, you know. It's a real travesty. But anyway, read that article and see what you guys think.
What's amazing to me is when I sit down on a day-to-day basis at work, I use all operating systems. You know, I use the OS X. I use Linux. Primarily, I'm using OS X and Linux on a day-to-day basis. A little bit of NetWare, sometimes Windows XP, sometimes Windows 98. And what gets me is I sit down in front of my Linux box. I sit down in front of my OS X box. It is light years ahead of Windows XP, just for usability purposes.
Easy.
It is light years ahead. It is much...
For one, it doesn't make a 2 gigahertz machine run like a 386, right?
And, you know, the interfaces
on a
are nice.
Day. Trust me, I've got,
the interfaces
I've got one
are
running on my desktop now.
They're a delight to look at. I don't get that feeling when I sit down in front of a Windows, particularly Windows XP, when they have that new
the Fisher
like,
Price
coloring,
interface.
Yeah, the Fisher Price interface. That's horrible.
Yeah,
you know, I don't
crayon
know
crayon and magic marker interface. Yeah,
like I customize my window managers to suit my needs. Okay, and I do that, and I have my OS X thing. I use Quicksilver, which is if I want an application to run, I just hit Apple Space, type in the first couple letters of the application. Hit enter and it's running. You know, same stuff on Linux. I have everything I want at my fingertips. When I sit down at a Windows machine, I got to hunt for whatever I want to do.
Yeah, and you have to wait for the menus to respond.
That's only because you are not like most Windows users who the first thing you see when you look at their desktop is you see 800 icons crowding their entire desktop. You can't even see, like, background. There's just so many damn icons.
Yeah, that is. But, you know, I think, what is it, Windows...
How can you work like that, man? That's
they
a,
tried
that
to make Windows
crazy.
XP, by default, not allow you to save stuff to,
right.
to do that.
People
and,
do
and
it
that's
anyway.
Even worse. Because it's like, how the
yeah, then you can
you,
never get to it.
How
right.
do you get to your stuff on a hard drive? There's
navigate
no computer,
85 sets of menus.
How do you yeah, you're right. How do you navigate anything on there? You got to right-click on the start menu, hit explore, and then it brings you... It doesn't bring you to what you want. It brings you right there to the start menu.
You know, try browsing the hard drive on XP.
That's
it takes
what
like
I'm 15 about.
Minutes to get that thing open, too.
But that's, you know, you just don't have... Oh, it's a...
We're going to piss off our listeners, and we're talking too much about Windows.
You know, speaking of using Linux and everything, last week I said that I got permission to set up that Linux server.
Yes.
And it's already in place. It's been in place. And it's so wonderful now because instead of having to go through the Cisco routers and
you don't
switches,
have to touch it, right?
No, I don't have to touch it. Instead of having to go through the Cisco, if I want to get into work now, I just go to that Linux box.
Uh-huh.
Got the ports open. I moved all the mailing lists that I had, they were doing manually, over to Mailman. And, you know, I had to do a ton of testing because I want to get this right. I wrote some custom interfaces
right.
for signing up to the mailman list because I didn't want everybody to have to go to an individual page, put their name in. So I just wrote a, you know, basic PHP script in a form. They put their name, their email address in, click the list they want to be a part of, and then it sends it off to mailman that sends them, you know, a confirmation
cool.
response back. And, you know, doing all the testing, making sure. And then what's nice about Mailman is since it's open source, you could just sit there and hack all the files. So, you know, I went in and hacked all the text files and customized the HTML public pages and, you know, added everything I wanted, set it up exactly the way I wanted to do it. And I had to do that 7 times for 7 different lists. But, you know, it was such a delight.
But
now,
still, you could do it, and that's the whole
right. thing. That's what's nice. Now, instead of having to spend like a half a day, a week, manually putting people in these separate mailing lists and groups, it's actually like groups in an address book. and then having to share the address book and do all sorts of funky things. And when anybody wants to send an email through the list, they have to proxy in as that list and then use the group in the address book that's for that list, but blind carbon copy everybody so everybody else doesn't see everybody's email, and then send it that way. Now all they have to do is just, you know,
mail it,
fire up, send it right to the list, and it sends it out to everybody. It's set up that nobody, you can't respond to it, that responses just get dumped. It's just a one-way list, and I don't have to do anything now. I don't have to manage, maintain any membership stuff, you know, except if some clueless person can't read the simple directions to just go to the interface. They can unsubscribe, they can, you know, switch to Digest, whatever they want to do, or simply just send a message to slsdinfo-leave@list.sle.org, and then they're gone. You know, it'll unsubscribe them. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
So I spent a half a day setting that up, all the lists, fixing that. So now I don't have to do anything anymore. I've just saved myself, what, 2 days of work out of every month, and don't have to mess around with that. Now when somebody asks me, how many people do we have subscribed to the list, I could just go to the admin page and look at the number of subscribers. Instead of sitting there having to count every single person on the list, you know, you start at the top and you go, 1, 2, 3. What was really cool, and I like this, is I lucked out. I majorly lucked out that I was able to export the addresses from the GroupWise address book to a text file, which made it so much easier because Mailman has that mass subscription field. You just pull in that text file. As long as it has an email on every line, subscribe everybody at once. So beautiful. So fast. And just, oh, made me shiver. And now, you know, now I got another server there, you know, with MySQL, PHP, and all sorts of stuff that if I need to do some other work, I got that there.
It's all ready to go.
So there's three Linux boxes now. There's my works. There's my burning box. Because nothing burns CDs as well as Linux does. It's just so easy, so fast. So I have a box that I, you know, it's basic workstation to do burning on, which used to serve as a server. It still is a server, but now all I do is burning on it. I have the server, which hosts the mailing list and, you know, for the programming class to do some Linux work. Dance. And then we have the backup system.
Burning all them WHERE CDs for all his Windows buddies.
That's it. And then we have the backup system, which, you know, I do all the backups of the servers every night. And the thing is, all this stuff, I don't have to really mess with it. I only, the backup system is basically automated. I only do part of the manual stuff, so I could just see what's going on. I could automate the whole thing and not have to worry about it. But, you know, it's just, it's so much better.
It's job justification. You have to keep some manual.
Oh.
You still need some way to check things, you know, check to make sure that the automatic stuff is working automatically. Right?
But you know what I did learn? The backup system.
Bet you're going to tell me.
Yeah, the way we've been doing it is I told you we got external FireWire drives.
Right.
And we got 250 gig drives. And it's been working great because I can get, every night I do an incremental backup, and then I do a full backup of a couple servers. And then on the weekend, it's a full backup of every server. And it runs pretty well. And usually I can get, like on a Monday, 2 or 3 Mondays worth on one backup device.
Okay.
But the thing is, and I learned this from listening to the Daily Source Code, that the Lacy drives have a tendency to burn out really fast, the hard drive controllers on there. And I was like, damn, you know what? I do have one drive that's a little, like, almost a year old that is really horky. And we just, you know, we just went out and, at the recommendation of, you know, the media specialist said, yeah, these drives have been running great. You know, we bought 10 of these Lacy drives. And, you know, now it's like, Adam's like, yeah, they have a tendency to burn out. And it's a known thing. Lacy knows about it. So that's shameful. But so far, we've lucked out. I've had a few instances where the drive won't mount, which is really odd. It keeps saying there's no partition or invalid partition table. So I run fdisk and
F-I-C-K?
No, fdisk. It won't even, you know, that doesn't fix it. I fdisk it, and I, you know, recreate the partition. And the weird thing about it is all the data's there still, which is really wild. That happens. I notice that a lot in Linux. If you fdisk a disk the exact same way it was originally set up, chances are your data is not going to be gone. I've done that a few times. Have you ever seen that?
I've never seen that.
I have done that a few times.
That's really odd.
If you don't format the file system,
I may have to try that though.
Try it sometime. I mean, I've rescued those disks by just F-disking them, puts back on the partition table information and mount it again, and the data's
still
there.
That's not something to do with like a flaky FireWire connection or some crap like that.
I don't think it's a flaky. I think it could be the controller. Like I said, I would attribute it more to the controller because now I've heard other people having the same kind of problem.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay then.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're like rolling over our intermission song time too. You want to do an intermission song this week?
Yeah, that'll give us time.
Let's do an intermission song.
Maybe parse that daily source code.
Here it comes. Last week, we were going to play John O'Bacon's new song that he put out on his website called Phone Junkie, but we didn't get a chance to because we wouldn't shut up long enough to play it. So I'm going to do that this week. That's John O'Bacon at what's website? www.johnobacon.org.
johnobacon.org.
Go there. Great musician. Good guy. Great host for the Lug Radio over there. Listen to his new song, Phone Junkie. We'll be right back at you.
I'm Matt from Lugger Radio in the UK.
Oh, that is so surely.
It's CBBC presenter.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm interviewing Blue Chucks.
I was doing my impression.
Anyway, we're Lug Radio.
I'm doing my impression of Dan there because, you know.
It looks
he's,
like
he's Ack. Jolly when he does his. No, it's Alan who looks Alan. Like Ack. But Dan's a
which
jolly
is one who looks like me?
Alan.
Alan. He doesn't look like me.
Lincoln's got the tall hat, as so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
It's Lincoln.
Is his surname Lincoln?
No, his surname's Fessner.
His name's not Lincoln Lincoln. Lincoln. His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Link on.
The link on to Linux.
Link, anyway, link, again, link,
we're Lug Radio.
Yeah, we're Lug Radio over in the UK. That's lugradio.org. Come along to our website.
We're British as well. We drink. We like drinking.
Cavemen.
Cavemen.
Yar.
Yar.
So anyway, we're going to Lug Radio because we've only been given about 30 seconds. Come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like. If you like the Linux link tech link show, I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
Yeah. What they said. And no, the reason that I actually played that to begin with, I'm flying solo here, like Dan and Alan over there, you know, groping each other or something, I don't know. The reason I actually played that is because, well, one, because we just played Jono's new song, which was, again, Phone Junkie, and go grab all of his stuff that you can and listen to it, and he's got some good metal stuff going on over there at JonoBacon.org. And the other reason that I want to play that, it was to remind me to tell you this. I understand that Matt over there from Lug Radio just got married, and I just wanted to make sure that I congratulated Matt on behalf of all of us here at the Linux Link Tech Show on his marriage, and hopefully it's a permanent, long-lasting, kind of happy relationship thing going on. Congratulations, Matt. Now hurry up and get your honeymoon over, and the rest of you guys got to get together and start doing some more Lug Radio broadcasts, some more Lug Radio recordings, because we've been missing you for the last couple of months, guys. Come and do it. All right. They're still working over there. All right, well, let me hit a couple of the other things that I wanted to hit then. Another one that I wanted to talk to you about was TuxMe.com. This is the I just found this site today. It's a new, you know, a new Linuxy kind of website. That's TuxMe.com. TuxMe.com. This thing is pretty cool. This has got like all your Linux goodness all wrapped. Do you think, you know, it's another like a slash dotted web blog kind of informative website. And it's got all your, you know, basic recent Linux information all wrapped up in one nice little spot for you. And I'm really digging it. And if you like Linux, you should check it out. And, you know, you'll dig it as well. This is a good website. Again, that's TuxMe.com. And what else have we? Oh, got some email today from the guys and gals over at HackerMedia.net. And I wanted to make mention of their stuff over there. HackerMedia, HackerMedia.net is the website you want to go to. This has got, reading straight from their website, it says, HackerMedia is a news source for the hacking, freaking geek media scene. Discover and download audio and video productions as soon as they come out. This is pretty cool. They have actually a lot of different, you know, like little audio and video, just like things. It has different audio and video feeds. Pertaining to all kinds of geeky, interesting subjects. And I highly advocate that you head on over there and check out some of their media feeds. It's pretty interesting stuff. Dances. 44 minutes. I don't even have you guys queued up because you're over there like playing with each other.
Makes me want to vomit listening to the audio quality.
Yeah, go ahead and check that out, HackerMedia.net, and they seem like some pretty cool people. In fact, that they contacted us today and wanted to give us a spot that we could email y'all off of their website to tell you that the new tech show has been released. However, of course, you would already know that since you listen as we go along. Right, folks?
Word.
Word.
Oh, snap.
All right, now, how far in is this thing?
44 minutes. 44 minutes, right?
44
minutes. 37. Now, that's into it. Just go 44 minutes.
44 minutes. All right, well, keep talking. I'm going to cue this thing up here.
You know what? I when I went to Wawa today, you know, I walked in there. I'm, like, dressed in a T-shirt and shorts and sandals.
Took you for a robber.
And everybody's in there, like, wearing winter clothes, and I'm in there in T-shirt, shorts, and a sandal. And I felt like a, you know, a crack addict or something buying a sugar fix.
You look like a college student.
Ow! Hit myself in the face with the microphone. Oh, you know what I did get, though? And I'm going to shut these out. Have you guys had these yet? These are effing awesome. You've had Peeps, right?
Yeah.
But these are Peeps with chocolate cream inside.
Whoa.
And, oh, my God. Ooh. This is like heaven. I had this the other night. Holy mackerel. I mean, we're lucky to live in the same town that Peeps are made over there at Just Born Candies. So I don't know if the rest of the country gets these wonderful Peep Delightful fills. And it's just like orange pumpkins. For 99 cents, you get six of them, so that's two apiece. Have some, and they got this like heavenly chocolate cream on the inside.
I'm gonna have to get me one of them for sure.
Heavenly chocolate cream.
Heavenly.
That's so good. Just one more for each of you. Alan, you want another one?
I'm good.
Sure, why not?
Wow, these are good, man. They're little pumpkins. Peeps. Pumpkin Peeps.
Do you have it queued up yet?
Yeah, the whole world is listening to us like chow on Peeps. Alright, anyway. Earlier we were talking about Dan's question to Adam Curry and Adam Curry's response, and through the miracle of modern technology, we actually happen to have finally got that available, and here it is.
I mean, I could set up a rule in my mailbox that'll dump it into a folder and it'll make it into a podcast.
I thought you said 44 minutes.
It would just be for me. It would just be like an answering machine, literally, or
give it
comments,
a couple of seconds,
you know, or
it'll be in there.
Stuff my assistant wants me to remember.
Right,
I could put
up.
That on and listen to it in the car. And
you go, Adam.
You know, cool way of creating a podcast feed.
Adam
okay,
is cool. If you ask him, he'll tell
in,
you
an
so.
An important one.
Good evening, Adam Curry. It's Dan Washko from the Linux Link.
We'll see your whole damn question again. They already heard your question.
I'm moving my way through
Shut
the
up.
Earlier episodes
Suffer.
Of Daily
Suffer,
Source.
Suffer, man. This
he
show
wants,
is only an hour long.
Really
he wants to hear himself again.
We're going to have to start really doing two-hour shows just so that, you know, Dan can get his whole thing in.
Media files that you play. And
he's
what
riding high. He sent a question to Adam.
Those who are
and it was played on the Daily Source Code.
You should have seen me. You remember seeing when I walked in here, I told him like that not only... Not only did Adam actually play his thing, but
people in podcasting.
I heard it, you know, before he did. He was all excited.
Commercial based content.
It's funny.
What concerns us or me, and also we discuss it on the tech show.
Blah 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 blah.
You know, I figured he'd just cut some of this out instead of playing.
But you know, that's like a 2-minute comic.
You know how many times I recorded this?
He sat listening to the whole damn thing.
You know how many times I recorded this? Because I kept starting out like, "Hey, Adam Carey." Hey, Adam Curry. I'm like, wait a minute. It's not Adam Curry. It's Adam Curry. Hey, and then I'd be like, you know, I was like, oh, damn it. I got to start over again. One time I got like almost all the way through, and I'm like, I forgot what I wanted to say. I had to start over again.
Shit, by the time you got done, I forgot
right
what
on,
you
Dan.
Wanted to say.
Thank you very
okay,
much.
Here
I appreciate the question. And to answer it right off the bat, no, I don't have a license. I have done licenses with, particularly with BMI. I think we wrote probably the first BMI license for online music, and that was for but my client was Budweiser.
Of course, you know that what we're doing right now is like stealing Adam Curry's show.
Yeah, but he releases under Creative Commons.
Yeah, okay. Anyway,
we did
continuing.
We did something with the Budweiser site, and they gave a specific license.
Budweiser.
And at the time, I believe it was a percentage of revenue. So the answer is no. Now, most of the podcasts that you're hearing are just spoken word, but just about every single podcast that I've seen come by in the past the past couple of weeks does begin with an opening tune. And even if you're just using a few snippets or just a little bit of a song, in the real world, outside of podcasting, you know, you're using somebody else's intellectual property, and they have rights to that, and that should be, if not compensated, at least there should be an agreement about what kind of use that is. You're right about perhaps the leadership role, because I do see people emulating the format. However, the rules where I live are a little bit different.
That's right. So pass me the bong.
You know, I kind of thought about that when I was listening to some
What, passing me
stuff.
The bong?
No, that there's probably the rules are a lot more lax
in
the Netherlands than the rest of the world.
Yeah. There are no people being sued by the RIAA in Europe.
And there you have it.
In fact, the European court is still trying to figure a lot of these.
Of course, you know why there's no one being sued in Europe by the RIAA. Because the RIAA is the Recording Industry Association of
America.
So, you know, the guys over there in the Netherlands can go tell them to pound sand, which I wish, of course, we could do here. Anyway, continuing on.
Although we're probably not winning the war, we have, maybe we are winning the war and we lost a few important battles, but on software patents, things are a little bit different over here. There's a reason why Kazaa I don't think they were probably founded wherever Nicholas and those guys live, but they built the company in Amsterdam. There are just different rules about technology and peer-to-peer sharing, and we don't have a couple of the laws that have been passed in the United States. That doesn't mean that I think it's right, and I think that it should change. Now, conversely, I've talked about this a couple of times. In Europe, in the Netherlands, at least I know 100% for sure, but in most of Europe, I'm quite sure, radio and television stations pay a percentage of revenue to the licensing organizations, which would be ASCAP, BMI. Here it's BUMA, STEMRA. They're all, every country.
What was that? Vince Brasson. Sorry, man.
They're all tied together in some weird, bizarre way, and they know how that works, right? They pay a percentage of revenue, and then they can use whatever they want. There are some restrictions, but they can even use it in their promos and in their shows, and there's just a whole bunch of ways that they can use that. Radio stations, exactly the same. In the States, from what I'm led to believe, radio stations don't pay that type of royalty because it's seen as advertising. And that's really important because I'd like to, if we're going to have to be broadcasting, like Chris Perillo says, and we're not podcasting, we're broadcasting, I'm all for that. But then I want broadcast rules, and I want to have the same benefits. And I think I could convince and make a pretty good case for most music industry executives, some of who I'm sure are listening, that this is the radio of the future. Screw the connections you've got with Clear Channel and who you know there. This is where the new, this is where the new radio is coming from. Don't you?
Absolutely. Right. This is where the new radio is coming from. And we are.
Yeah,
we are in on the ground floor. I
can understand that, but I mean. Still, if we start putting, if we play some Skinner during intermission, they can come down on us.
Oh, they will.
And
you get
lawyers. Give me money.
Right. And we got Andrew on the IRC here. He says no. He said I worked at a radio station and we paid for the music we played, which is what I thought.
This is
the first time I've heard anybody say that they didn't pay.
When Flash introduced us to those people that were running that little web radio station down in Moravian College,
right.
They said about how they have to. They also have a regular. They don't. No, it's just a web radio station. They have a license to play commercial music.
Right.
But they. I can't remember where they get the license from. But they have to record every song that they play. And they have to turn those
lists. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to turn those lists in to. Is it the RIAA?
Nice.
I'm not sure. Whoever it is, they have to turn it. They pay a certain fee per month to be able to broadcast.
See, now that's what I that was my impression. I know that early on, radio didn't used to before the RIAA for some suit decided they could figure out a way to abscond money from people for nothing. Early on in radio, they didn't used to have to do that. In fact, it was a great form of advertising for selling their albums, that you got your song on the radio, and I seem to recall stories about groups that would actually, like, drive to different radio stations with their albums, try to give them the play. Now, of course, it doesn't work like that. Now, the radio station has to pay to
right.
play your music, which is really still, like, how the hell do you advertise if you make the advertising, I wish they could do that in like with like commercials. That would be a killer business. You want me Budweiser? You want to advertise, you know, you want me to make a commercial for you? Then you got to pay me, you know, big, big, big money.
Big money.
Big money.
No whammies.
You know, it's just no whammies. You watch way too much TV, man. But you know, I just
we,
don't understand.
Are we done with his answer, or
I can still let him go for, you know.
No, because I have a couple of things I wanted to bring up,
and I figured we probably would want to talk or for a couple things.
I have three things I want to bring up.
All right, 5 seconds or less. Here we go.
Number one, Alan.
Next.
Yes.
Number two, Alan. I don't know if you ever met him. He's only been to a couple meetings.
Yeah, I met Alan every time.
The teacher I work with at Southern Lehigh, actually, you know, one of the computer teachers there, technology teachers, his name is Bob Verone. He works at Southern Lehigh. He's on the mailing list, and he's only come to a few meetings.
BMI, Andrew says the BMI.
He lives over by Freedom, not too far away from you, and has two-way cable from RCN. And what he told me, what he had heard, is the reason why you don't have two-way, and you
probably
won't
because I live in an apartment.
No, and you won't be getting two-way is because the cables, all the cables are underground, and they have to dig, you know,
to replace them.
Yeah, and that's what happened over around his place. For some reason, they had to do some construction, and they were digging it, and they put the cables in. But from what he's saying is, he would suspect that you're not going to be getting two-way. For a very, very, very long time.
I gave up on getting two-way from RCN years ago.
And
we can fix that, though. We'll find out where the cable goes underground, and we'll just tie it up to a car bumper and drive away. No, have to come and replace it, right?
It's the telephone pole in front of my apartment building.
Hey, not a problem.
Number two, I don't know if I brought this up before, but you had asked where those archive.org are getting those old concerts. Did I bring that up?
No, I don't remember that one.
Every show for, like, the past, I don't know, forever, every concert is recorded off the main mixing board.
Oh, yeah.
For the
yeah.
engineers.
Yeah.
And everybody to go to review. That's where they're coming from.
What concerts?
Oh, yeah.
Because you had asked, you know, you were saying somebody had to record. And my wife worked in that industry.
Oh, yeah. So for like the Dylan shows my friend gets.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets them off the bootleg list and stuff. And, you know, most of these shows, you look at them from, like, you know, 1967. And it's a pristine quality
right.
sound. And you're going, yeah, nobody brought a reel-to-reel in 67.
That's where it's coming from. Number three.
Number three?
Number three. Now, I don't know if you read my blog or listened. I don't know if I brought it up in the audio. But my parents were victims of...
Yes. Read that and heard it in your
right.
in your new...
and...
thingy there.
Although I never, you know, I never want to ask for money or anything like that. My wife put up a donation fee, so if anybody has like a couple of dollars that they'd like to donate to help my parents out to get, because the insurance company says they have to pay a $500 deductible, and they're like on a fixed income, and so, you know, my wife threw up a feed. You could just like throw a couple of dollars over there.
What, do they just need to get it like repainted, or
they might have to get the siding replaced? So
really?
So
yeah,
what,
you can't get it scrubbed off or nothing like that.
Well, the insurance company said they're going to try and have somebody come power wash it. But the thing is, they have to pay the first $500.
Yeah.
And right now, that $500 is the money they scraped together, you know, that they were going to use for the Christmas this year. So.
Do you need a power washer? I got a power washer I can bring up.
I don't know. My parents are handling that.
Okay.
But I just thought I'd bring it up. If anybody, you know, has a couple of dollars they want to donate, you know, help my parents out. I put the link, it'll be on my blog, of course, and it's over there on the chat right now. No obligation, just thought I'd throw that out there. Money, 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 send us money.
Yeah.
So it's a really crappy thing. They drew swastikas and used some really racist remarks. And it's sad
yeah.
that it's happened in that neighborhood. You can read all about it in my blog.
That's,
I don't want to bring it
up. That's kind of, you know... That's really a ridiculous thing to be doing in this day and age.
Ain't worth it. Anyway, on to other topics.
Juvenile.
She's collected
other, 20 other topics. They're like 10:04, man.
Oh, she collected $25 so far, which is nice.
Cool.
I gotta submit my payment.
Submit your payment to yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's not to, it's, I don't know who it's to, but, you know, gotta do what you gotta do. Shilling, shilling, shilling.
Yeah.
Money, money, money.
Yeah.
Well, is it 10:04?
Yeah, it's what my, that's what my says.
Dude, you're wearing your tech show shirt.
Yes,
you know what?
I'm
when I get paid this week, when I got the new car, I need to get new bumper stickers because I don't have a tech show bumper sticker.
Is
on
that
my new car.
The red car that
yeah,
you parked behind out
car.
There? That's,
yeah.
that's yours? That's a sweet looking car.
There we go. You know, actually,
I figured it was yours, but I was really looking for like Linux bumper stickers.
I drove past some high school chicks walking home, and you know, I drove past and I saw in the rearview mirror they turned and looked in my car. They're like, oh, I'm like, yeah. Get the boomer going in the back.
Oh, and, man.
I was cracking the daily source code. And, yeah. That's, not, they don't look,
they were
look,
like,
I
just gave away
they were like,
a set
oh,
of kicker
gee.
Speakers.
They were like, oh, gee, that old fat guy is listening to Adam Curry. Isn't he the old guy that used to be the original VJ for
no,
MTV
they
or something
were
100
going,
years ago?
That old guy's
right?
listening to talk radio.
Right. Look at him. He thinks he's cool. That's funny, man.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's what happens when you get old and have kids. Makes me feel not so old.
Yep. Yep.
All right, everybody. It's
you
it's
know what?
Like, what?
You know what, Alan? You know how it was like chilly last night?
Yes.
And I you know, I was wearing, again, basically what I'm wearing today, and I walked home from Moravian. I was kind of all psyched because my wife had made chicken and noodles. It's kind of
no,
like
you
a
wanted
soup.
To get out of there last night.
Yeah, it was kind of like a
your
soup.
Wife come yet? Is that her car?
Yeah, it's kind of like a soup, but you know you don't have to eat it like a soup. And I was like all psyched because I was cold when I got home. I was ready to go. Sure enough, the little one,
the dog
dumped,
ate it all.
No, Avery dumped Kool-Aid in it, so it was inedible. You couldn't eat it.
Cherry chicken and noodles.
No, it was the blue. It was the blue Kool-Aid. I don't know, whatever that blue
Kool-Aid
blueberry
is.
Blueberry chicken and noodles. Oh, man.
I ain't getting no chicken and noodles.
Oh, that's bad.
All right.
Chicken and noodles. That's going on the blog for sure.
What's going on the blog?
Blueberry chicken and noodles, man.
Yeah, did you get a picture?
No, I didn't, but it's on.
We need to have the whole recipe.
It's on the audio blog. It's not on the regular blog.
All right, are we done? We're done.
Yeah,
we're done. There's a lot of stuff we didn't even get to. You know, we could probably do a show like this every damn night.
That's a bummer. I don't think my dad. He's not on the chat. I don't know if he made it on to listening tonight.
Listening to the stream.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of people on the stream.
And this is a good thing.
That's cool.
There's
yeah,
11 people.
Keep listening on it. You know, I really wish we had a better way to check the number of downloads that we had via, you know, either via a podcast that downloads or just people hitting the archives. Really would like to know how big of an audience we have. So, like, if you are listening to the show, please drop
us
an
email
and let us know. You know, we've gotten, and this is cool, in this, in our, you know, our year of duty that we've been doing this, I've gotten email from people in
Hawaii, Australia,
England for sure, the Netherlands, where else? All over the United States, you know.
We got one from Canada, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we might have gotten some from Canada.
Now we've got to start working in the South American states.
And I've been, you know, I used to get hits before we moved the MP3 files.
Well,
yeah, before we moved the MP3 files off of my server to our new co-located server, I would get hits from Sweden and some weird African nation places. Get some of them too. So I'm like really interested to know if you're listening to us, where the hell are you listening to us from? So
but
drop us
according
an email.
According to Webalizer,
techshow@thelinuxlink.net. What?
The last show, number 52 and show 53, show 52 had 368 hits. on that file.
That's good, yeah.
So I figured that's 368 downloads.
Well, yeah, if it's probably that. a good guess.
Now, show 53 at 218.
But see, this what I'm getting at is, like, we have four mirrors now.
Right.
So we don't know for sure. You know, we can get a good guesstimation of how many people actually listen to each particular show, and but you can't really tell for sure. Plus, you know, we have the stream statistics, too. And so I'm just curious. You know, go ahead and send us an email at techshow, T-E-C-H-S-H-O-W, at thelinuxlink.net. That's T-H-E-L-I-N-U-X-L-I-N-K.net. Drop us an email. Tell us that you're listening to the show.
You know, it's always kind of a bummer when you put something out there and the older show has like 60 hits and then the next show has like 23. And it just starts going up. It's like, it's such a blow to your
ego. We've had that a couple of times, yeah.
So I'm looking at Dan's rants and it's like the first one's 61. And that's the one that had the effed up sound in it. So you know everybody
was like, oh my gosh.
I don't understand. It played wonderful on MPG 1-3 and it played fine on the iPod.
That's why I told you needed to resample it. But
I did do that.
When you resampled it, though, you should have changed your RSS feed.
I did do that then.
You changed the RSS so they got it again. They got that show again.
Yeah, the new one should have been.
No, not the new one. They should have got the. I mean, change the date on the old one.
Right, I did
so
change
that
it.
They downloaded that again through RSS, and that way they'd have
well, maybe that's
a better quality
twice as many files.
That could be.
Which might be the case, but...
That could be.
Yeah, that bums me out.
Same
that,
people getting it twice.
And, you know, I still don't understand why I'm getting some kind of funky, like, distortion on it. It's got to be that sound card. Because we don't get it on this.
No.
It sounds like it's going through
why
the situation.
You got this beautiful iMac sitting here. Why the hell don't you... You know, or a beautiful PowerBook. Why don't you record? Because
I use Linux when I'm at home. I don't use a PowerBook.
It's right there, man.
Yeah, no, it's usually downstairs, wrapped up, ready to go to work the next day. Well, you got a point. I got to go where the audio quality is at. Where it's fat, yo.
But you have, don't you have like two sound cards in your
workstation? No, not anymore. I took the other one out. I don't know where it is now.
He's got.
See, it's got to be the sound card because we don't have the same thing happen with
people.
The sound
listen,
card.
He's got six freaking computers right here.
You can't pick
every
one that works.
Every damn one of them has a sound card in it, at least one, and he cannot find one that he can record on.
Well, I can't take the sound card. I can't use the one that we use for the show. And. Why? Because it's
well, use a honeypot. Use do something, man.
I don't know if this honeypot still has an audio.
Use
card
the server. Do something, man. You
the
can
server
do, you can record on command
card,
line,
huh?
Server doesn't have an audio card.
No, I
you can record on command line there. From you know.
I was doing all that stuff before.
We still have the old laptop collection over here too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he's got the old laptop collection too, and I'm sure one of them would work as well.
I just got to get off my lazy ass and take the
stuff
apart.
That's what it is, right there. That's what it is, right there. Not debatable. All right, everybody, we got to get going. It's 12 after, according to my clock, which is wrong.
Wait. There's a question.
What
on the list from Rover? Did any say they find the show via Rover's list?
No, because nobody has emailed us yet to say that they're listening. However, we'll keep that in mind and let you know.
Wait, what's Rover's list?
That's that list of broadcasted tech-type shows.
Yeah, it breaks it down by day and time of
that
day.
That list. Yeah. I remember that.
That's the one. Can you haven't checked that?
I've been there a couple of times. Yeah, that's. I didn't know that was him.
But I haven't.
What a
freaking loser
I am.
And now you know the truth.
No. Way to respect the community.
I haven't had anybody like specifically come and tell me that they listened to the show and found it from any particular source whatsoever yet. I'm hoping people would do that though.
Yeah, we'd like to hear where you're listening.
Yeah, I want to know.
Send more promos.
Yeah, I listen. I listen every week. I listen once you suck. Do you know something? Just send us an email.
Oh, yeah, there he goes. He posted that before. Tiny URL. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So you hit the URL. It's in the chat line. Check it out.
That's it, baby.
That's the stuff.
That's it.
All right, everybody. This is Link.
This is Alan.
Dan.
Thank you for listening to the Linux Link Tech Show. Catch you next week. If I can find my promo music. I might be able to find it, too.
It's one of those buttons.
No, you know what? I gotta close down all my stuff. This is just a bad week. It's just a bad week. It's all Dan's fault.
You're not feeling good. Somebody got...
He's a punk.
Somebody got a poo-poo in his throat.
Get a poo-poo in his throat.
Somebody poo-poo in his throat.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Pulling the Fleet Tech Show. Pulling the Fleet Tech Show.